Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, as always, Jake. You can follow my stuff on X or Twitter, still people call it, at LouisLewis5. I got good stuff coming out on there, so just be sure to follow. On today's episode, we're always going to talk about injuries because there's huge news on the injuries. We're going to be talking about the recapping of Week 13 games, waivers to be targeting, and also today's episode, we're going to talk about the sophomore quarterback slump. It is a real thing. I believe in it. It's a real thing. Without further ado, let's get into the injuries, though. This list, just before the games even started, Brock Purdy did play with a shoulder injury. Trevor Lawrence played with a shoulder injury. Breece Hall, knee, he was questionable. He played. Spears played. J.K. Dobbins is on the IR with a knee injury. Jeremy McNichols with Austin Eckler now on the IR with a concussion. He was questionable. Jamal Williams, he doesn't even matter. Devontae Smith, he missed the game on Sunday with a hamstring injury. Keon Coleman didn't even play with the wrist injury again. Josh Downs didn't even play. DeMario Douglas was questionable with the ankle. He did play. Cedric Tillman with concussion, he didn't play. Jalen Coker, quad, he didn't play. Gabe Davis is on the IR and will miss the rest of the season with a knee injury. Alec Pierce, he was questionable with a foot injury, but he did play. Dalton Kincaid, he missed last night's game with a knee injury. Jontavian Sanders, he missed with a neck injury and concussion. Noah Fant, he did play, I do believe. Like, all these guys are just missing time. But getting into Week 13's injuries, I'll start first with Trevor Lawrence. He had a little late slide, but is a light hit on Elshire for the Texans, giving Trevor Lawrence a concussion. If I'm the Jags, I'm not even playing Trevor Lawrence the rest of the season. There's no point of it. You're playing for literally nothing. It's just a brutal hit. You hate to see that happen. And thoughts and prayers to Trevor Lawrence and his family. Baker Mayfield, it looked like he may have suffered a season-ending Achilles injury. He got stepped on, and he initially even thought it was Achilles as well. He only missed one play, so he went back in the game. Bucky Irving in the same game, he suffered a knee injury, missed some time, but came back with vicious power, having a career-high day. Josh Jacobs for the Packers is limited with an ongoing calf injury. Also, Romeo Doubs is returned back to practice after missing Thursday's night game with a concussion. Ladd McConkey missed the last 6 minutes of the game with an injury as well. He did not come back. Dallas Goedert, he's hoping for good news. It's hard to say what's going to be coming. He did injure his knee. Taysom Hill injured his knee as well for the Saints and is out for the season. And now here's the biggest news. Jordan Mason placed on the IR with a sprained ankle. Oh, sorry. The bigger news than him is Christian McCaffrey suffered a PCL sprain in the first half in the snow game against Buffalo Bills. It's usually a 6-week recovery time, meaning basically his season is over. It's just a big news tragedy. Adam Schefter reported his seasons should be gone, all as well as Jordan Mason. I mean, he's going to miss the next 4 games, which most of us is in fantasy. No, next week is the last week for the regular season, and then you got usually 3 weeks of playoffs. So he is gone as well for the season, meaning Isaiah Garendo, wait and watch for the waiver targets. With that, let's move into the game recaps on Thursday. Hopefully, also, yeah, speaking of Thursday, hopefully y'all had a good Thanksgiving. I know I did. I spent it with my wife's family, and we ate a crap ton of food, watched a lot of football, had some drinks. It was a great time. Couldn't think of a better way to spend it. Chicago Bears took on the Detroit Lions. They lost 20-23. The Lions again win at home. Caleb Williams looked like a pro. He had 256 yards, 3 touchdowns. Looked like a pro quarterback that we want to see, except for the last 45 seconds of the game. If you haven't seen that, my God, that is probably why they fired their head coach, Eberflus. It's just, there's no reason for it. They're on like the 40-yard line. They took a sack, 42 seconds, and they ran one play as a heave when they could have just dumped it off, got in field goal range, and kicked for an overtime. But it is just terrible. One of my sits of the week was DeAndre Swift. Bad matchup against a tough Lions defense. He only had 39 yards rushing. He did have 2 catches for 35 yards, but is still a bad play. DJ Moore, he keeps on being great under Thomas Brown's new offense coordinator, which is now the interim head coach for the Bears. 8 catches, 97 yards, 1 touchdown. He keeps thriving in the offense. He's getting the ball how he should have gotten the ball the whole season. It's just almost like a little too late. Keenan Allen, 5 catches, 73 yards, and 2 touchdowns as well. On the other side, Jared Goff, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns, basically a mediocre game for him. David Montgomery, 88 yards rushing. We didn't know if he was going to play with a shoulder injury because in week 12, he did injure his shoulder and did not return. He had 21 rushes in this one, though, for 88 yards, whereas Jahmyr Gibbs looked a hell of a lot better. Only had 9 rushes for 87 yards. I just don't know why they didn't play Gibbs more. It's just unfortunate. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's consistent. It's either 12 points or 30 points, I feel like. So he hit his floor of 5 catches, 73 yards. Going into the next game on Thursday, the New York Giants versus Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys took this one 27-20. With no Tommy DeVito and the releasing of Daniel Jones, Drew Lock drew the start. You like that? Drew. 178 yards, 1 interception. He did have 4 rushes for 57 yards and 1 touchdown, as well as 1 fumble loss. Tyrone Tracy, the real running back here, 32 yards and a touchdown, is actually pretty even split between Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary, and I did not like seeing that. Singletary had 7 carries himself for 23 yards. It's just not something we want to see being fantasy gamers for Tyrone Tracy. Malik Nabers, I thought he was going to get a little bump this week because of a better passing quarterback, I thought, in Drew Lock. He had 8 catches, 69 yards. Theo Johnson also is on the IR. He had 5 catches, 54 yards. He did get injured with a knee injury, I do believe. So he is drop worthy if you picked him up for streaming for the next couple weeks. Cooper Rush, on the other hand, for the Cowboys, 195 yards, 1 touchdown. But the man of the game was Rico Dowdle, 112 yards. 1 touchdown on this Thanksgiving game. Huge day. Also, I didn't cover CeeDee Lamb, also got hurt in this game. He hurt his shoulder again. He had 2 catches, 39 yards. He didn't even come back in, I think, the second half. It's just weird seeing that, but hopefully he gets better for fantasy playoffs for most of us. And the last game on Thanksgiving, Miami Dolphins 17, Green Bay Packers 30. Tua looking great again, 365 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. But this run game, they cannot run the ball. I just keep on looking at their numbers every week. Devon Achane, 14 yards rushing. He's only getting like 20, 30 yards. And Raheem Mostert, 19 yards rushing. It's just pretty bad when you got your starting running backs just not getting even over 20 yards. On the other side, Jonnu Smith keeps killing it. He's a must-start going forward. 10 catches, 113 yards. I know a lot of it came in garbage time, but that's part of fantasy. We live for that. Tyreek Hill had 6 catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown. But where Devon Achane does make up is receiving. 8 catches, 56 yards, 1 touchdown. And Jalen Waddle comes back down to earth with 4 catches, 53 yards. Jordan Love had 274 yards, 2 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs keeps scoring on the ground, 43 yards and a touchdown. And again, it's Russian roulette with this Packers receiving core. You got Tucker Kraft, 6 catches, 78 yards. Josh Jacobs, 4 catches, 74 yards. Christian Watson, 2 catches, 67 yards. Jaden Reed, 3 catches, 24 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's so hard to determine who is going to be the guy that breaks out that game. I just don't know what to say or think of that. It's just Russian roulette. I think mostly it's just play Jordan Love and play Josh Jacobs and away we go, and hope and pray if you haven't one of the pack of receivers or tight ends, they don't blow up if they're on your bench. Moving along here, though, in one of the first games I ever remember, a Friday night game or Friday game, hopefully you guys got all your shopping done before this game because it came down to the wire. Las Vegas Raiders 17 against the back-to-back defending champs, Kansas City Chiefs, 19. Aiden O'Connell gets the start after Gardner Minshew is now out for the season with a broken collarbone. He had Aiden O'Connell had a fractured thumb in week 7, was placed on IR, finally came back. He got elevated just before this game. 340 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great game and really good numbers against a decent defense, in my opinion. Rushing, though, I don't even know what to say. McCormick, a rookie, 64 yards, or Amir Abdullah, 39 yards. I think it's safe to say if you ever believed in Dylan Lobb from New Hampshire, you could kiss that goodbye in deep drafts or dynasties. He didn't even get a single snap, especially in the last 2 weeks. It's just worth dropping. But the man never to drop is Brock Bowers. He is the next Travis Kelce. 10 catches, 140 yards, 1 touchdown. Another guy that is probably a must start the rest of the season, Jacoby Myers, 6 catches, 97 yards. Back-to-back weeks of almost 100 yards. He's averaging over 100 yards in back-to-back weeks. On the other side, Patrick Mahomes, after back-to-back finishes of top 10, he throws 306 and a touchdown. Isaiah Pacheco gets evaluated from the IR, 7 rushes, 44 yards. And Kareem Hunt struggled with 7 rushes, 15 yards. A lot of that came in, break time for Pacheco. So I think this is Pacheco's backfield now going forward. Kareem Hunt can be safely put to the bench If you need to drop him for a player, you could probably do that as well. DeAndre Hopkins, 4 catches, 90 yards. And Travis Kelce, 7 catches, 68 yards. But yeah, going back to this game, the last series for the Raiders, driving down the field, great game all day. They miss a couple field goals. I think, yeah, he missed 3 field goals. Daniel Carlson, I know it was 55, 56, and 58. Hell of a long kicks. But he was there driving, and it was just a bad snap, miscommunication. Aiden O'Connell didn't even know it was coming and bounced off of him, and the Chiefs recovered for the win. So they couldn't get down in there and kick a field goal for the tie or for the win. Next game, first game of the Sunday slate, Los Angeles Chargers winning 17-13 against the Atlanta Falcons. What is going on with the Falcons, actually? We'll talk a little bit. Justin Herbert, not a great game, 147 yards, and 117 of it went to Ladd McConkey. Holy shit. Gus Edwards is now the starting running back, 6 carries, 32 yards. Where Kamai Vidal, 4 catches or 4 rushes, 20 yards. Don't be surprised if Vidal overtakes Gus Edwards. Just a hint. Waivers. Ladd McConkey, like I said, had 9 catches, 117 yards. Great performance before he suffered an injury. It's unfortunate for a great rookie. Hopefully he comes back, because I sure need him going forward in the fantasy playoffs. On the other side, Kirk Cousins. What is going on? 245 yards. Yeah, it's good. 4 interceptions. I don't know what to say for that. Watching the game, a lot of it was just terrible throws and decisions. Like, why didn't you just throw the ball out of the end zone and kick a field goal? Why did you throw in triple coverage for an interception? Just terrible decisions. Bijan Robinson, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. Ray-Ray McCloud, 4 catches, 95 yards. Drake London, 9 catches, 86 yards. Bijan had 6 catches and 33 yards as well. And Darnell Mooney, 3 catches, 20 yards. If you didn't hear Kyle Pitts' name, that's because he sucks. Got a dud week again. I'm so pissed because I lost a fantasy week because, actually 2 weeks, because him not catching a damn ball. Just terrible for myself and for the fantasy community. Next game, hell of a game. This is what we like to see between division rival games. Pittsburgh Steelers, 44. Cincinnati Bengals, 38. This game had it all. Russell Wilson, I don't even know, he was just a machine. 414 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Najee Harris, 75 yards and a touchdown. George Pickens, 3 catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. I thought he was going to have a bigger game just because this secondary of the Bengals is terrible. Pat Freiermuth also added 6 catches, 68 yards and a touchdown. Joe Burrow again impresses us and amazes us. 309 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He sure the hell would be considered in the MVP talk. Unfortunately, his team is hot garbage and is not participating in the playoffs, probably. Chase Brown, 70 yards rushing and a touchdown. Jamar Chase, 6 catches, 86 yards, 1 touchdown. T. Higgins, 5 catches, 69 yards, and a touchdown as well. The worst part about this is, like I said, the Bengals are pretty much hot garbage as a team. They're not going to get in the playoffs. I think they have like a 2% chance of going to the playoffs. So for me, I just don't believe in it. And it sucks because they're probably going to start benching their players. And Joe Burrow might not even play in the fantasy playoffs. So be on the lookout for that, because that could very well happen. especially getting late in the season. I would not be surprised if something like that did happen. But moving along, Arizona Cardinals lose 22-23 against Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, again, barely squeak by in this one. Kyler Murray, 260 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions, seven rushes, 48 yards on the ground as well. He's just can't put back-to-back-to-back games. Like, he just only has one game out of three that are decent, and then he comes back to earth and sucks. Not something we like seeing. Inconsistent is horrible for us fantasy gamers. James Conner, 68 yards. He did add three catches, 13 yards as well. Trey McBride is a man on a mission. 12 catches, 96 yards. The last few weeks are just been amazing with Trey McBride. He is going to probably win somebody a fantasy championship just by himself because that's how good he is. Marvin Harrison Jr., 5 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. On the other side, Sam Darnold, he's still playing good the last couple weeks. 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. Aaron Jones Sr., 5 rushes, 22 yards, and a fumble loss. But he did catch a touchdown, I believe. Yep, 3 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. TJ Hockenson, 3 catches, 28 yards. Jordan Addison, 4 catches, 54 yards, comes back to earth after a crazy career day. And Justin Jefferson finally almost got over 100 yards again, but he had 7 catches, 99 yards. Moving on, Colts 25, Patriots 24. Anthony Richardson, again, 50% completion percentage. Oh, my God. Just reading these numbers sometimes for the first time. Just terrible. Like, listen to this stat line. 12 completions, 24 attempts, 109 yards, but somehow has 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Just, that hurts for fantasy for himself, but also the receiving. I mean, Michael Pittman Jr. had a decent game with 5 catches, 42 yards, but besides that, it sucks. He also did have 48 yards rushing and a touchdown for himself, as Richardson has a total of 3 touchdowns, but just listen to his passing or reading his passing line is just terrible. Jonathan Taylor also had 96 yards. With 1 catch, 7 yards, and a touchdown. On the other side, Drake May, mediocre game as well. 238 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Added 59 yards on the ground, huge for fantasy. Ramondre Stevenson, 73 yards, but Antonio Gibson, 62 yards, and stealing that touchdown away from Stevenson. Hunter Henry, 7 catches, 75 yards. And Kayshon Boutte has been playing like 90% of snaps. He had 3 catches, 41 yards. He's been playing like over 80% of snaps in the last, I think, 10 weeks almost. Seattle Seahawks win on the road 26-21 against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets 21. Geno Smith only had 206 yards, but 1 touchdown. Normally has like 350 yards and 60 pass attempts. He only had 31 this week. Ken Walker, 49 yards. He got a touchdown taken away from Zach Charbonnet, unfortunately. Jackson Smith Njigba, 4 catches, 74 yards. Like I said, he is their number one guy now, in my opinion. DK Metcalf, 4 catches, 66 yards. I just like Smith Njigba of how well he's been playing. Aaron Rodgers, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. I don't know what to say for him. He's just, I think age is catching up, buddy. Age is catching up. Breece Hall, 60 yards rushing. Davante Adams led the team with 5 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown from the Rodgers. Garrett Wilson, only 5 catches, 41 yards. Yikes. I mean, he was a top five wide receiver, I think, before that game. Not anymore. Commanders take the next game, 42-19 against the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis in negative game script, 212 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. One of my sits of the week, Tony Pollard, 35 yards rushing. It was not a good matchup for him. They're going to be in negative game script, and the Washington Commanders have been pretty good against the run this year. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. This guy only catches touchdowns, I swear. 3 catches, 61 yards, 2 touchdowns. I want to say his touchdowns are probably one every 1.5 catches that he gets a touchdown, I swear. Calvin Ridley, 2 catches, 45 yards. I thought he was going to have a little bit better day than that. Unfortunately, it was not. On the other side, Jaden Daniels looked great as the rookie continues for his push for Rookie of the Year. 206 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Also adding 34 yards and a touchdown on the ground. Brian Robinson had 103 yards rushing and a touchdown. Also, Chris Rodriguez, 94 yards and a touchdown. I think most of it was garbage time, but hey, like I said earlier, this is what we live for in fantasy. Receiving, Terry McLaurin, 8 catches, 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. He didn't have to catch that 86-yard touchdown just to keep himself fantasy relevant this week. Thank God. Zach Ertz, Mr. Consistency, but also touchdown upside. 3 catches, 35 yards, and a touchdown. He is probably a must-get for fantasy, in my opinion, just because of how consistent he can be. Houston Texans barely pull off a win, 23-20 against Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know what's going on with CJ Stroud. 242 yards. I thought he was going to have over 260 plus. I bet it on a player prop this week. He was one of my starts of the week, and he only had 242 yards with a touchdown, but still, I'm kind of disappointed in it, to be honest. This team is leaning on Joe Mixon and running the offense through him. 101 yards and a touchdown for himself. And also, it's hard to see CJ Stroud. It's just, I don't know. He's just been struggling to me. He's got a healthy Nico Collins, which tore it up. 8 catches, 119 yards. They got the playmakers. They got the rushing. I don't know what to say for CJ Stroud. On the other side, Jacksonville Jaguars, though. Trevor Lawrence, concussed, out for who knows how long. If that's me, I'm benching him the rest of the season. Mac Jones did come in relief, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, which is surprising. I thought he was going to have like 150 yards like he had last week as a starter. Travis Etienne continues to suck ass this year. 13 rushes, 46 yards. Tank Bigsby, 7 rushes, 28 yards. Parker Washington, 6 catches, 103 yards, 1 touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr., 4 catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown. And Evan Ingram, 7 catches, 41 yards. I think if Lawrence misses a lot of time, I think everyone suffers from it, especially the wide receivers. It's going to be bad. Los Angeles Rams winning 21-14 against the New Orleans Saints, 14. Stafford, 183 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kyron Williams, 104 yards and a touchdown. Blake Corum coming up, 8 carries, 42 yards. Might want to think about picking him up. Puka Nacua, 5 catches, 56 yards, 1 touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson, 2 catches, 49 yards, 1 touchdown. And sadly, Cooper Kupp, 3 catches, 17 yards. Yikes. not what we like to hear or see. Derek Carr, 184 yards and touchdown. Alvin Kamara tore it up on the ground, 112 yards rushing. He did add 4 catches for 7 yards. Taysom Hill, before he injured his knee, 5 catches, 37 yards. He is going to be out for the rest of the season, so you are okay to drop him. MVS, 2 catches, 36 yards, and a touchdown. You might, if you're looking for somebody, maybe Juwan Jennings. He did come in relief with 5 catches, 36 yards. Just a thought, though. Tampa Bay Buccaneers barely pulling off a win in overtime against Carolina Panthers, 26-23. Baker Mayfield, 235 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, though. Again, he thought he popped his Achilles at first, but and it's fortunate that he didn't and came back into the game and led him to a victory. Another injury that he went out and came back in, Bucky Irving, 25 rushes, 152 yards, and a touchdown. He was a man on a mission as well. Career day easily for him. Rashad White had 11 rushes, 76 yards as well. But one of my starts is Mike Evans, another 8 catches, 118 yards, 1 touchdown. Great news for him coming back after missing time with his hamstring issues. Last week, I thought he was going to blow up, but it's understandable. Give him time, and he did this week. Bucky Irving also added 3 catches, 33 yards as well. Bryce Young has actually looked pretty good the last couple weeks. I'm not going to say he's great, but 298 yards, 1 touchdown. He's still got his flaws, but he also did rush 17 yards and a touchdown, which he never runs the ball at all, so it's surprising seeing and hearing. Chuba Hubbard, 43 yards rushing. Adam Thielen, 8 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. Another guy I like is Xavier Leggett for the Panthers, 4 catches, 53 yards. And next is the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Baltimore Ravens. Eagles take this one 24-19. Jalen Hurts, I think, struggled in this game. Yeah. Only having 19 pass attempts, 118 yards, and a touchdown. He did rush for a touchdown with 29 yards. But you also have Saquon Barkley. No, he didn't get 299 yards or 255 yards like last week. He had 107 with a touchdown. A.J. Brown, 5 catches, 66 yards. And again, like I said, Dallas Goedert got hurt, 3 catches, 35 yards, and a touchdown. It's to be seen what is going to happen with his knee injury. But also remember, Devontae Smith did not play in this game either. Lamar Jackson, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, adding 79 yards rushing as well. Great performance for him, over 300 scrimmage yards. Derrick Henry, 82 yards. He also caught 3 passes for 29. Zay Flowers, 3 catches, 74 yards. I thought he was going to have more. Unfortunately, he just did most of that in the first half. And Mark Andrews, 6 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown. It was great that he found the end zone again, and he continues to hit that stride just for fantasy playoff or before fantasy playoffs. And Sunday Night Football, the snow game, San Francisco 49ers 10, the Buffalo Bills 35. It was a wallop game. It was just straight from the beginning. It was all Bills, and both teams could not pass the ball, but is more effective to run the ball anyways because everyone was going for high tackles, not actually going for feet because they could not get any grip. Brock Purdy coming back after missing last week, 94 yards passing, and that's it. Jordan Mason, before he hurt his ankle, 78 yards. And Christian McCaffrey, before he hurt his knee, 53 yards. The man to get is Isaiah Garendo, four rushes, 19 yards, and a touchdown. It's hard to say what could have happened in this game if Christian McCaffrey did not go out, but it happens. He's done for the year. So is Jordan Mason. Insert Isaiah Garendo. That's the last man standing in this backfield. Juwan Jennings, 3 catches, 56 yards. Deebo Samuel continues to struggle, 4 catches, 20 yards. And George Kittle, yikes, I didn't see that. 1 catch, 7 yards. Terrible game for him. On the other side, Josh Allen, I mean, he only threw 17 times, completing 13 passes, 148 yards, 2 touchdowns. But, I mean, they didn't really have to do much in the air when you could run the ball. James Conner had 107 yards rushing and a touchdown. Ray Davis, 63 yards and a touchdown. Also, Josh Allen, he got credit, I think, for 4 touchdowns in this game because he ran a touchdown with 18 yards rushing. He threw 2. He threw 1 technically to Amari Cooper, which then lateraled back to Josh Allen, and he scored a touchdown off of that. So technically he got a 2 passing, a rushing, and a receiving touchdown. Crazy number for that. I mean, and he only had 148 yards passing. Khalil Shakir, 4 catches, 30 yards. And Amari Cooper still not even involved in this offense, in my opinion. 3 catches, 14 yards. And currently, I'm recording this with a minute left in the fourth quarter, but it's safe to say the Denver Broncos are going to win the Monday Night Football game 41-32 against the Cleveland Browns. Current numbers are Jameis Winston. Holy shit. Oh, crap. 476 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Golly. Yeah, I did not see that one coming. Great numbers, great day for him. Jerome Ford actually has 9 rushes, 41 yards. Nick Chubb missed a lot of games. He missed like 30 straight snaps. He only had 21 yards rushing. For receiving, though, Jerry Jeudy, 9 catches, 235 yards, 1 touchdown. He is a must-start probably going forward because he just keeps on getting volume. He's been dominating the last few weeks. And, you know, it's always going to be a negative game script to me for the Cleveland Browns. Elijah Moore also in consideration for starting all the time, 8 catches, 111 yards. And David Njoku finally bounces back, even though I didn't want him to score anything because I needed him to pretty much suck for myself to make a fantasy playoffs. Unfortunately, he had 9 catches, 52 yards, and 2 touchdowns. On the other side, Bo Nix. I mean, his push for the Rookie of the Year continues as well. 294 yards passing, 1 touchdown, but 2 interceptions. Jaleel McLaughlin looks like he was a hot hand in this game. 14 rushes, 84 yards. And for the Broncos, they have 2 guys for over 100 yards. Marvin Mims Jr., 3 catches, 105 yards, 1 touchdown. That touchdown was a 93-yard pass, though. Cortland Sutton keeps on dominating. This guy has just been a wrecking ball the last 4 weeks, having 3 top 6 finishes in those 4 weeks. He had 6 catches, 102 yards. And that is your Week 13 Fantasy Recap. And I'm just going to touch base with this quickly with the waiver ads and who you guys should target, especially with fantasy playoffs coming up. It's good to have him on your bench or having a handcuff for running back positions. But I'm just going to say these names. No rhyme or reason of what order I would take them. Jameis Winston is labeled in here. He's available in 79% of leagues. With almost 500 yards passing tonight. And like I said, this is recorded on Monday, so it's coming out on Tuesday. So he's got almost 500 yards passing. He continues to be in negative game scripts and throwing the ball. We don't care if he's like how he was in Tampa, 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns. He'll throw for 5,100 yards, though. Great for fantasy numbers, bad for regular NFL football. Anthony Richardson is available with 43%. Yes, he had 50% completion, this past week again, but 3 total touchdowns is great for fantasy. Again, good for fantasy, bad for regular football. Matthew Stafford, available in 40%. Caleb Williams, 45%. He's been looking a lot better now that they switch offensive coordinator, and he keeps being productive. And Geno Smith, of course, 50% available if you're needing a streamer. At the wires or at running back position, same thing. But I'm going to say this guy is my number one in all of fantasy. Isaiah Garendo, available in 95% of leagues. I'm probably spending the rest of my fab to pick this guy up. He's been dominating before when Christian McCaffrey was out and Jordan Mason did not play. And now both of them are out of his way. It's his backfield. Let him run. Braylon Allen is another guy, 57%. They might just shut down Breece Hall and give the ball to Allen and see what he could do. So he is probably a handcuff for me just because of that factor. Kamai Vidal at 76%. He might over-trump Gus Edwards by the end of next week. Honestly, I mean, his carries were 6-4 in favor of Edwards, but I mean, only 1 week can be a big difference because Vidal looked a lot better and he could catch out of the backfield. Jalen Warren, 31%, and Chris Rodriguez, he had 93 yards. Yes, Brian Thomas played in this one, but he's been having issues staying healthy. So again, going into fantasy playoffs, you might want a handcuff. And Austin Eckler is on the IR. Just saying, he might be a good guy to reach out and look at. 99% available. Waiver targets for wide receivers. I know this is my number one if he's available. I know it's hard to say. Is Jerry Jeudy. I mean, I just read off his stats right now. He's available in 24%. I know it's high, but if he's there, take a look and put money on him as well. He's my number two overall fantasy target or waiver target this week or in this week's waiver show. Adam Thielen, 50%. He's been good the last couple weeks since coming back from his hamstring injury. Brandon Cooks, 86% available with the unknown question mark with CeeDee Lamb. It's hard to say who, you know, what's going to happen. This team is probably out of playoff contention, but I mean, they could, if they somehow right the ship and win the rest of the games, you very well could see Brandon Cooks having good numbers. Parker Washington, 96% available. It's just, I don't see the Jacksonville having a good team, but they're going to be a negative game script. So he could be a guy to look out for. Also, another huge guy I should put up higher, Elijah Moore, 78% available. The last 5 weeks that he's played with Jameis Winston, 12 targets, 9 targets, 8 targets, 5 targets. And tonight he has 14-plus targets, and he's got over 100 yards tonight. He's just been dominating since Winston has taken over. For tight end waiver, it has to be Zach Ertz is my number one. 37% available. He's just Mr. Consistency, but also has a huge touchdown upside as of late. I think he's got back-to-back weeks with a touchdown. So he is my number one target for tight ends. Then the rest is kind of like a crapshoot. Tucker Kraft, 37% available. It's a hit or miss for him of how he's going to do. Pat Freiermuth has got to be up there, though. 57%, and he just had 666. You know, he is the devil, apparently. I don't know why I said that, but six catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. He got over 18 points in PPR leagues. Luke Schoonmaker, 82% available. If Jake Ferguson is still out, he'd be a good one to go after. And Hunter Henry, seven catches, 75 yards. They do have a bye week this week. He is available in 46% of leagues. And that, everyone, is your waiver target. Next, I'm going to be covering the sophomore slumps. It is a real thing. But before that, I'm going to let you guys hear from the man, the myth, the legend, the Podfather.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer. So you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team. And then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing. And it's going to be well worth it.
Yeah, definitely go out and check out the Dynasty Dominator app. I have it myself. Great app to use. Story number two of the day. Sophomore slumps is a real thing for quarterback. In the 2023 NFL draft, there was 14 total quarterbacks taken. A few of them aren't even in the league anymore or even on teams, or they just get labeled as emergency quarterbacks on game day. As of the 14, only five have started a game this year. We'll start with the first one, Aiden O'Connell for the Las Vegas Raiders. He has drawn three starts so far this season. Unfortunately, in week 7, he fractured his thumb. But with Gardner Minshew out now with a broken collarbone, so insert Aiden O'Connell. He first game back, he actually got elevated from the IR on Friday, and he played Friday against a back-to-back defending champs in week 13. He took him to the brink of an upset, but unfortunately, miscues cost him toward the end of the game. In the three games Aiden O'Connell has started, he's averaging 206 yards passing, one touchdown, and one turnover. That is not what we want from a quarterback in fantasy. He will start the rest of the season, so hopefully he can bring those numbers up. But as a rookie, he did finish quarterback 28 overall, which is not what we fantasy gamers would like. And this year, it's to be seen, but he has yet to show me any impression of him being good this year. Will Levis started 9 games this year due to injured shoulder. He's currently averaging 184 yards passing, 1.33 touchdowns per game. He's adding 19 yards rushing, but turns the ball over way too much. 12 interceptions, 6 fumbles, which 4 of them he's lost, and he's been sacked 37 times this year. That's 4 sacks per game when he starts. Horrible. Not what I want to see. He has had one top 10 finish but he is only getting 12.3 fantasy points per game. He is currently ranked quarterback 30 on the season. Last year, he finished as quarterback 33. He has not made much improvement in my eyes, and that is not what we want as fantasy gamers. Next, the fourth overall draft pick in the 2022 NFL draft, Anthony Richardson. He was a raw talent coming out of Florida. We all knew this. He only had, I think, 15 games total started since high school. And that showed, obviously, in the NFL. In his first couple games as a rookie, he looked great for fantasy, except for he needs to learn how to slide. He got injured. He had concussion injury, shoulder injury, which actually made him not play the rest of the season. But we all saw flashes of how explosive he could be. In startup drafts, dynasty leagues, he was probably going in the top 10 of a super flex league. A couple games this season, he showed flashes. But then there's a lot of games he showed duds. The inconsistency, the horrible play, the decision-making, and got benched for Joe Flacco. The old man still had it. We seen it last year. He showed flashes that, you know, for the Browns, he took them to the playoffs, but old age caught up to him. And then this year he had great games as well. And again, his old age caught up to him. And Colts decided to go back to Anthony Richardson. In his first game as a starter after all the benching, he was great, but he's still horrible with decision-making. His completion percentage is a nightmare, and that's not what I want to see. You look at some of the games, 9 for 30, 10 for 30. This is not what we want to see for a quarterback that has potential, but this year he's just looked horrible. Obviously, the Colts felt the same. This is why he got benched in favor of Joe Flacco. I mean, come on, Joe. He's the only thing that he's got is his rushing ability. His past decisions are terrible. They need to be worked. You can't trust. He turns the ball over a lot, and he is who he is. To me, he's been relatively disappointing if you drafted him last year in dynasty leagues as the 101 or 10 through 104. He's picked in between there, but you look at the other players you could have picked, you're kind of probably kicking yourself in the butt. Next, we have the rookie of the year 2023 season, CJ Stroud. As a rookie, he was unbelievable. He had a great rookie campaign, making him in startup superflexes, dynasty-wise, a top five pick at least. I know personally people trading three top, first-round picks for him in a superflex, which at the time I didn't blame him. I advised him I would be trading this for CJ Stroud. Yes, he's only 22, but this season – there were a couple games he looked the part of his rookie season, but mostly it just looks rough for him. I have a hard time thinking he's going to be great this year, the rest of the season. He's looked like he fell off. Hell, he almost got beat last week or yesterday by Jacksonville Jaguars team that doesn't have anyone, especially after they lost Trevor Lawrence. Just not a good playing. He's got a healthy Nico. The Texans are actually now leaning on Joe Mixon and running the offense through him rather than CJ Stroud like they did his rookie year. He only has two top 10 finishes on the season. Everyone's talking so much smack about Jordan Love throwing interceptions every day or every week. The last 2 weeks he hasn't. But before that, they wanted Malik Willis to start over Jordan Love. Get out of here. But yet we look at CJ Stroud, he's turning the ball over every single game too, and barely beating horrible teams in his division. And we have to stop and think and start actually looking and maybe pointing fingers at him. Turning the ball over is not the right, you know, right way to go. It's just been a bad fantasy year for CJ Stroud. Finally, the number one overall pick, Bryce Young of Alabama, as a rookie last year, who by far was the worst quarterback in the league, in my opinion, making terrible decisions, having bad reads after bad reads. Carolina Panthers traded up from, I think, pick 9 to get the number one overall pick. They actually traded the 2024 first rounder to the Chicago Bears, who actually got the number one overall draft pick and selected Caleb Williams. Now insert 2024 season for Bryce Young. At the beginning of the year, again, he just looks so awful and terrible. And he got benched for the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton. Much like Richardson, he took the path behind him, sitting behind a veteran quarterback. And hopefully he learned, because finally he got the opportunity to start, only because Andy Dalton got in the car accident and got hurt. But once he came back as a starter, he won back-to-back games before hitting their bye week. Then week 12, almost beating the back-to-back defending champs, Kansas City, taking them right down to the wire. And then played even better this week and took Tampa Bay Buccaneers to overtime. But he's still struggling. For me, he's not getting the job done. He's not giving you much fantasy points. He is a pocket passer. He barely runs, even though he did score this past week against the Buccaneers. He's just looked bad, and he got benched for the Red Rocket, who, in my opinion, only had one good game and looked terrible the rest. Maybe that's why they switched back, because they just look horrible. So I do believe there is a thing called QB sophomore slump. Mainly just look at CJ Stroud. The fall off from his rookie year is straight proof of that.
Thanks again. That is another episode of Fantasy End Zone. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Also check out our Facebook page and Instagram. Check me out on Twitter or X at LouisLewis5. Also, be sure to tune in on Mondays. I am hosting on Player Profiler News. I'm their Player Profiler News Today on Mondays. Check it out. I'll leave the link in the description. Also, be sure to email me any questions at fantasyendzonepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you guys later. And as always, good luck. Have a safe week, and I'll talk to you later. Peace.